You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Yes. Hora número dos of the Sports Hangover will officially welcome you to the midway points of the work week in a quick sec. Will Guillory joining us in 15 minutes, fresh from Pel's practice. The very latest going on there. Christian Wood, you know who that is, Jordan the intern, wearing a Pel shirt today.
Christian Wood, yeah, is the guy we just picked up.
Wow, man. Okay. That's...
I keep up with my Pels even though we're not doing too well.
23 points last night.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Next I forgot thing. The team that... Oh, yeah, the Bucks dropped them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got rid of them.
Boogie. Did you hear what Boogie had to say to Chris Haynes from Yahoo?
I have not, actually.
Okay.
Was it released this morning?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. Also, let's see. Got a little wrestling talk as we're right around the corner from WrestleMania. Paul Boron's going to join us. Part of the Two Face podcast talks wrestling. So I'm going to join him at 2:15. And we're continuing to get your calls and your tweets on the top four plays that the franchise can submit on behalf of your New Orleans Saints to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the NFL. Brian Enola East has chimed in. Porter, pick six. Ambush, Gleason block. And Jordan the intern, Akeem drops the ball.
See, Akeem is always the last one on everyone's list.
It's still one of the four.
Always the last one.
Though. Welcome to Midway Point of Your Work Week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more about what that Camel Wednesday hump day is. What it is.
There it is. Shot team, the Digital Underground, Caleb the Camel. And head coach Sean of the Peyton. Decision maker, trendsetter. Tell you what, it was very poignant, the picture of Gail Benson hugging Sean Payton yesterday when the rule passed. Words of wisdom.
To all the ladies, peace and humpiness forever.
Look, it's one of the reasons I keep saying, not the hug, of course, but my point is the close relationship he had with Tom Benson and Gail Benson is why I keep telling people, just as much as the Gail Benson is going to sell the Pelicans story, that seems to be more popular outside the area than inside the area. Seems silly to me. The whole Sean Payton of Dallas, any minute now. It's just a silly, I get it. It's a beautiful stadium. It's gorgeous. The Dallas-Fort Worth area, fantastic. Families, I get it. I do. Do you want to work with who's running it, though? That's the key. You got something live from Pelicans headquarters? What do we have?
$50, $55, $55, $60, $80.
We're going to have fun with Will Guillory on, of course, what Boogie had to say. So, this is Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports. I just play this to give you a little background. This is him, and they're just sitting down chatting. He's talking about his decision making and everything that happened.
That, you know, him ended up, you know, requesting a trade. Yes. As soon as all that goofy junk went down, like, I knew exactly what was going on.
You talking about the goofy junk with you? You talking about what happened with you?
Of all right. Course I knew.
All right.
I mean, I talk with A, like,
yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
Duh. It was just a matter of time for y'all to find out.
I mean, we was here at Whispers, but it's just...
AD made his power move, right? When he joined Cliff.
He joined, yeah, Rich Paul, man, yeah.
If y'all can't read between the lines of that, like, y'all just blind, right?
So you think, obviously, if they did right by you, they wouldn't be in this situation right now.
don't even matter no more.
Yeah. So I guess you also wasn't surprised when Dell Demps was let go.
I'm not trying to laugh on this, man. I'm laughing at your reaction, man.
Let me stop, man.
Anyways,
I don't know. Let me. Buddy had a master plan. Oh, you know.
Oh, man. So, cuz.
Wish him the best.
Wow. Hey, Chris, can you stop laughing for a second? Jeez. Huh? Hey, Boogie, this just in. No one was giving you the money you wanted. And it gave you, what was the offer, 2 for $40? Or something like that, and it wasn't good enough? You wanted more? They did offer him a contract. Let's Chris, you might want to have brought that up. They did offer him 2 for $40. That wasn't enough. Clown. Your boy. That's your guy right there.
My boy.
Yeah. Boogie.
I did want to buy some of his memorabilia.
Sorry. I just, Boogie. You know what? The second the season ends, the move gets made, the better for everyone involved. Peace. Deuces. Adios, muchacho.
Is there still a chance that we get Stop Anthony it. Davis back?
No, that? You're done. Mike is off. Penalty box for 4 minutes. Jimmy from the Best Bank, thanks for calling the show. Tony on the on-deck circle. What you got, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think your buddy there has a point. I mean, Anthony Davis, since the trade didn't happen with the Lakers, if you notice, the national media isn't even talking about him at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they're almost trying to suppress his value, Gus, if you notice it closely. They were talking about it 24-7, every commercial break. The Pelicans had a national TV game. When's Davis going to go to the Lakers? LeBron, oh, yeah. Clutch. Now you're hearing crickets. So I think they're purposely trying to sink his value. I'm not going to say we're going to keep Davis because of that. I think we are going to lose some value with him not playing much. But then I can't blame the Pelicans for not doing it. I mean, the whole year is a dumpster fire. It's the worst. I'm not even saying this as a Pelicans fan. It's just the most disorganized, snake-bitten season I've ever seen an NBA team have. And I'm glad Gail said what she said. Okay. I think she should have done it 2 weeks after Tom passed away.
Yeah.
Because I saw the writing on the wall with this. But this is the thing, guys. There is a reality. Last night there were 3,000 people in the arena. Tomorrow night against the Kings, it's going to be another 3,000. Tickets are $2 on StubHub. People are not attending. Now, this is the thing. We've lost two pro teams here before. That's reality. We almost lost the Hornets because of a attendance quota that was implemented by the NBA. So to say that attendance isn't a major issue here is, you know, you're not looking at the facts. But at the same time, I agree with what you're saying. I'm looking on the bright side of things. I think Gail is committed. But who's going to take over this outfit when she passes? That's a big question mark. And again, look, the city needs to show up to the game for $2-3 and just put some butts in the seats. Because I went to the game last night, mm-hmm. and it was embarrassingly empty. Even the commentators on the playback, I listened to some of it, they were even mentioning how bad the attendance is. So it is an attendance issue. And a lot of season ticket holders are not going to sign back on with this next year unless something major happens. And again, I think they're sinking Davis's trade value on purpose. Gus, the national media is not talking about Davis. You don't see any highlights or them even bringing him up anymore after their little coup that they planned with the Lakers didn't happen. Now they're kind of sinking his value. And all the Pelicans fans are like, well, we got to trade with Boston. What if Danny Ainge, a shrewd businessman, says, you know what? You guys don't have as much leverage as you think. We're gonna give you Tatum and a bag of chips, and that's it. And now what? Now what?
I like to think of more positive side of things, Jimmy, on a lot of the different areas. I think if you bring in new talent, and I think if you have some excitement and exciting players, and more importantly, I think Gail Benson coming out and saying that. And when you have a situation where a player kind of says, I'm out, you're not good enough for me, it maybe galvanizes a bit of the fan base there. The fact there's anybody there after that. And again, I bring up the Suns game. I was there a couple Saturdays ago, and I thought there'd be 4,000 people there. And there was well more than that. I mean, and remember this, when you bring up the attendance, as we're bringing Tony here, the attendance at the time, because there was ticket sales, not any ticket sales. You may not have the butts in seats, but there were over 15,000 ticket sales in these games. They've already sold, whether it's season tickets and suites and things of that nature. So again, two different times, two different disparities. Try to look at it glass half full, not glass half empty. Tony, what you got for us, man?
I got a couple of names, couple plays I want to throw into the
sure.
Tournament.
Let's go. Got the pen in hand. Let's go.
I don't know if it was said yet, but John Gilliam's opening kickoff on the first play of the Saints, season, the first,
yep.
first play was 1967.
Yep.
And I want to say, Deuce McAllister, when he struck Keon Carpenter for Saints versus Atlanta, that play will always stick in my mind every time I see Atlanta, when he just walked right over him. The way that shoulder and walked like 4 yards for that touchdown.
Is that the one where his helmet came off?
Yeah, when he just walked right, like, just lowered that shoulder, he rolled him up like a roly-poly insect. And I stepped over him, you know. I think that's like a fifth seed, but I mean, it's debatable, you know. I like to say something about the Pelicans season tickets. I've been a ticket holder for 10+ years, before they switched and everything.
Okay.
Like when we had Chris Paul, Tyson Chandler, and everything else, there was never empty seats in that building. That building was packed every single time because they had a winner on the court.
Right.
When you have a team right now, when you have guys who are like cuss players who might not be have a job next year. And these are the guys you put out there, and the team is noticeably not as good as the competition. I mean, we got beaten by the Hawks yesterday. It's mm-hmm. tough for people to go and pay top dollar or pay any kind of dollars to go out there and sit there and watch it. Because for me, if the fans lose, it's like I can't listen to anything for like a week.
Right.
Same with the Pelicans, when I watch them do terrible, it's the same thing. It's more nightly, so it's even worse. So I'd rather not go see the games too much when they're not doing as good or being as competitive, because it just seems like it's too much. It's too frustrating.
Look, it's a throwaway season, and I think that's one of the reasons that I've been so upset about what was taking place here as well, and that's why, even though Jordan the intern is wishful thinking and hopeful that that would be my problem. It would be a hard thing for me to sit down and try to either be the bigger person, or maybe I can't be. I don't know. It would be hard. I'm sure in relationships, people reconcile, people forgive. I understand that. The problem I would have in accepting if AD wanted to come back is, you blew away this season. As Fletcher tweeted earlier today, Clutch Sports and AD punted one of his seasons in his prime. That's the bothering part to me. It messed up your money, Tony. You bought season tickets this year expecting a team that went to the playoffs last year to make a run. They started out 4-0, and then this guy says, I want out in January.
And Tony's not
four games back. I mean, that's hard. That's hard for me to say, you done Tony wrong. You did all these people. And look, you had 2 years left on your deal. I get all these people to say, well, you didn't put a winner. Look, sometimes moves work. Sometimes moves don't. And for Cousins to be sitting there with Chris Haynes, sitting there saying that my deal is why he didn't do it, come on, bro. Nobody else was paying that guy. Nobody else did, as a matter of fact. So
I was more bothered about Chris Paul leaving than I am by AD leaving, to be honest. At least
yeah.
Chris Paul was noticeably missing off the court. With Julius Randle, I don't even miss AD at all. Like, Julius Randle, the only thing AD does more is block shots. You know, he's basically the same player other than that, shooting threes and posting. Actually, I'd say he's more of a bully. Julius Randle's way more of a bully than Davis is. Davis is tough. But I'd say, like, when it comes down to it, I'd miss Chris Paul more so than I'd miss AD. At least we don't have the NBA, like, NBA owning our team this time. When the trade goes through, they won't block it. No, Mark Cuban be like, no, I'm not going to pay the tax for them to have a better team than my
right.
team, you know?
No, I hear you, Tony.
You know, but hey, thank you all, man. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it as always. 800-998-1003.
Yeah, Tony's not the only guy that doesn't want to buy season tickets next year.
No, that's not Tony. Tony said he would.
Tony said he would? Oh, yeah. Was that the guy?
No, you talking about Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy,
he's going to be hard for season tickets. Look.
Yeah, because my next-door neighbor said they're not buying season tickets next year because of
you're
everything.
Saying that now, but I hear you. You're upset. You're bitter. You're upset. Okay? The second the trade happens and you see what team you get, ask that same guy if he gets, let's say, Tatum, or if they get Zion, or if they get, they're coming. Let's see what happens. You can't judge whether or not I'm going to support this team or not based off of what you're seeing right now in the game last night against the Hawks. Christian Wood, picked up days ago, led the team in scoring. Relax. Half of those people won't even be on the roster next year. You don't even have your new GM yet. You don't even know who your coach is going to be. Take a deep breath. You like the gear. You like it when they win. That's their job now. Go put a winning product back on the court. You're going to get the butts in seats. Again, don't you call here and start saying, I've been a diehard. There was hoodats that weren't showing up when they were 7-9. There were hoodats that were leaving in the third quarter when the Carolina Panthers were pounding. Hashtag pound.
The number two seed, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, they were just smacking the Saints in by the third quarter. People left. People like winners. Hard to support teams that don't win. Will Guillory, the Athletic, is up next on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Markdown Madness is going on now at Dunton Chevrolet with a full court press on savings on every Chevrolet in our inventory. We have the vehicles that drive the Bayou region with a slam dunk and thousands in savings and the home court advantage on pre-owned vehicles too with zero down and only $216 a month. And for those of you with less than perfect credit, our new Fresh Start program is ready to get you financed. It's Markdown Madness, so go online to DontonChevrolet.com for all our Markdown specials because the deals are at Dunton. Dunton Chevrolet in Thibodeau.
With proof credit, stock number U1905 plus tax, title, license, and dealer fees.
The Gavery Law Group handles wrongful death cases, cases that require an experienced personal injury lawyer. These cases involve severe injustices like police, prison violence, or accidental death cases. You need an expert legal team to help you recover lost wages, funeral expenses, and other damages. Some lawyers may overlook many details, from 18-wheeler accidents to chemical plant explosions. The Gavery Law Group helps their clients receive the compensation they deserve. Get Gavery and get results. Call 985-223-4400. Check them out on Facebook.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company. Member FDIC.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
I love the gifs. Keep them coming. Apparently, Chris Haynes reminded a lot of people of Kawhi Leonard. Will Guillory of The Athletic. Yeah, there it is. That's another good one, Vincent Price. Will Guillory, what is your best Chris Haynes chuckle?
Oh, man, I was going to do the Kawhi laugh. So you stole this from me, but...
There you go. Will, help me out here, man, because look, we're all going to be better in a couple of weeks and months when everything's put behind us and we're looking forward and covering the future of the New Orleans Pelicans. But, man, one of the tiring storylines is if they would have re-signed Boogie, none of this would have happened. Apparently, Boogie Cousins was the center to AD, signing with Clutch, getting out, making his power move, doing all this other stuff. I'm like, does everyone forget that no one offered him massive deals and the Pels actually did have a deal on the table? It wasn't what he wanted.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a lot of revisionist history going on, but I think, you know, the big thing, just like you said, was that he was expecting a massive contract offer from the Pelicans, and they just wanted to wait it out and see what the market looked like. And I think he kind of took that as an insult and kind of said, wow, you know, after the way you guys committed to me, after all of the stuff you told me over the past few months, and now, you know, an injury pops up and all of a sudden all of the feelings change. And I think the Pelicans people will say, yeah, you know, you experience an injury like that, an Achilles, that a guy that signed, you know, you rarely see people come back the way he has, and you got to give him credit for the way he put his all in the rehab, and he looks great with the Warriors. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would look great with the Warriors. But I think, you know, it's real easy to look at the Pelicans and say, well, they should have committed, but should have saw this coming, because I don't think anybody really saw him coming back and playing the way he has and not really dealing with injuries, just because we've never really seen that before, and I think it would have been a big jump for them to do that. But overall, I mean, I don't know if there's really anything they could have done to really avoid this AP situation, just because once the ball got rolling, I don't think there was really any way to stop it.
Yeah, Will, you bring up a great point. Not to say that I would look like a sharp shooter, but when you got the Warriors starting 5 and 4 that you have, I mean, you know, we're talking about space and opportunities and putback and passes and threes. I mean, it's pretty easy to look good on that starting, you know, front from that aspect of it. You mentioned in your answer there about feelings change. And look, Jordan's not the only one, our intern here. I get it at the gym. I get it at a crawfish boil a couple weekends ago. I don't know if it's wishful thinking. I don't know if it's just because the chatter's died down, the Lakers are a disaster. Have you heard, have people, chatted you up or just asked you, is there any way AD reconsiders? Are you getting that now, too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been getting that, you know, ever since the trade request came down. I think a lot of people had just kind of done a lot of what ifs, you know, what if they kept DeMarcus, what if they kept Rondo, what if guys did get hurt this year and they were more competitive. But just like I said, I think the ball got rolling on this a long time ago, much longer ago than they would probably would be willing to admit publicly. But I think AD has made it known that he wants to play for the Lakers. He wants to be in a market where he can become a bigger star. He wants to be in a situation where he feels like he can win at the highest level. And he just really felt like that couldn't happen here. He felt like the front office wasn't putting him in a position. They were constantly making the wrong moves or committing to the wrong people. And, you know, I think he just kind of got it in his mind that this wasn't the place for him. And I think, you know, obviously he wanted to compete and just put a team out there that can go out and possibly make the playoffs this year. Obviously that didn't happen. And honestly, I think part of it is that, you know, the guys in that locker room, they had to know what was coming. And it's hard to commit to a team when, you know, everybody isn't as committed as you are. So I think that'll probably point to why they struggle more than we expected this year. But yeah. I just think when you're in AD's position, I think it's easy for a lot of us to kind of dump on him and say, oh, look at all the dumb decisions he made. Look at how you kind of ruined this season and the Lakers season. But I think the way he was looking at it was big picture for his entire career. And he felt like New Orleans was the best place for him. And he just kind of sat down and decided it wasn't. And you know, I don't think anybody could really turn him away once he made a decision. And I think, you know, that's frustrating for Pelicans fans, but it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, I hear you for sure. Speaking with Will Guillory of The Athletic, at The Athletic NOLA, if you want to follow the local section of The Athletic, and at Will Guillory, if you want to follow him personally over on Twitter. I thought, and I think you and I have chatted about this on the show here as well, Will. I think it's silly, and I understand it, but I think it's silly and short-sighted, I would say. Maybe not silly, because I understand the, hey, Pels are going to Seattle. Gail Benson, sell him. She don't want to deal with that and all this other stuff. And then I just sit there, and I'm like, you're not even using your common sense. They're worth $1 billion, and they haven't been winning. So imagine if they actually win. I said, if a business isn't succeeding, then you change the format. You hire the right people. You win. You don't just give away billion-dollar businesses, much less, you know, be one of the few people that own two professional franchises. So I wasn't surprised what I heard Tuesday from Gail Benson. That said, Will, you cover this team. You interact with the fan base. It was probably about time, and it was good in my eyes to hear the owner say, I'm never selling the franchise ever. I view it as an asset to the city. And then hearing her and Dennis Lauscha, the team president, say, we need to be more like the Saints, and we will get better.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that was something the fan base really needed to hear more than anything else. Because I agree with you. People like me and you who talk to people around the team, we understand that it was very, very unlikely that she would ever consider selling the team. And I think a lot of that talk that was out there was kind of wishful thinking. People that were kind of hoping that the team would move back to Seattle, or they were hoping that things would kind of end in a way that it'll make this team look worse than, you know, than they actually should coming off of the AD situation. But I think the big thing I took away with it from it was that she really made a point of saying how committed she was to the city. I think that's something that the fans in this city really wanted to hear. I think that's something that has made the relationship with the Saints so strong. And you see so many people in this city just will die for the Saints because they feel like that team is not only committed to winning, not only committed to, you know, being competitive in the NFL, but they're committed to this city, and they buy into this city in every single way. and that's what people want to see more often from the Pelicans. If you're in a city and like New Orleans, there's so much culture there, so much history, you got to be able to embrace that. And I think that's something that the Gail Benson wants to do more going forward. She wants to do a better job putting people in the front office, the coaching staff that can really do that and really compete in the way that's necessary in the NBA. And I think we all understand that the blueprint that they've been going with Mickey Loomis kind of overseeing both sides, it just hasn't worked, just period. It hasn't worked. They've tried it for years, and it failed. And I think it's time to try something new. And I think it's good to kind of hear them admit that. Not that I don't think they really admitted that anything failed, but they admitted that something needs to change. And it needs to go in a different direction, and I think that's extremely important. That's something that the fan base can get behind. And seeing that the way these crowds are showing up, they've got to be able to win this fan base back, and people are fading the way people are losing love for this team. Right. And I think this is a positive step to kind of get them back.
I agree, Will. And look, we just had a phone caller, Jimmy, in the previous segment. He's like, man, it stinks. Nobody's there. And I'm like, look, there's seven games. It is what it is. You can't judge attendance right now with what's going on with on the court product. I said, let's see what happens when the lottery takes place May 14th. Let's see what happens when the trade takes place and you see what the people come in. GMs first, though, man. I know Fletcher has been out there with some names that he thinks could be four of at least the five or so that Dennis Lausch said they're ready to start the interview process with. I think the one common denominator is people, Will, that have experience with obviously rebuilding, using the draft and using talent to do that. I don't think this rebuild is going to be as long as it takes. With some of the names you're seeing out there, and maybe some of your sources as well, is it a good group of guys you think at the end of the day that should be interviewed by this franchise?
Yeah, I think that's definitely some of the names that are out there. Some of the same names I've heard. I think some of the prevalent names that I've been thrown at that have been thrown at me a few times already. I've heard Danny Ferry, of course. The current interim GM, I think they're going to give him a real shot at keeping the job. I think, obviously, David Griffin is a name that's been thrown out there a lot. And one that I've heard several times is Trajan Langdon. I think that's a guy that they may be interested in. But I think, overall, just like you said, I think they need to bring in somebody that's really focused on building young talent. I think the biggest failure of the Dale Demps era was the fact that he bought in so much on bringing in these quote-unquote young veterans, guys who are on their second contract, guys who probably didn't work out with their first team. And instead of really building from the start, building through the draft, building through rookies and second-year players, and allowing them to really blossom around AD, he kind of tried to hit the fast forward in the development process. And I think with this team, I agree that they're rebuilding. I don't think we're going to see 3 years of trust in the process the way some people are expecting, but I think this will be.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Will? Doing well on the last question. Will, Joey, if you want to try to get back with him again, we can get him about another minute there real quickly. Look, here's one of the things that I just wanted to ask him, too, about, you know, again, you're going to have to look at this team and see what pieces you bring back and what pieces you can use to rebuild. Again, if you add the right pieces, it probably won't take that long. And, again, who you get in return for Anthony Davis, what are some of those draft picks you can use? If you can get another first-round pick, you can move up in the draft to get an even better player as well. We've seen with the NCAA March Madness, Jordan, that you got some players up there that I think could come in and immediately make the impact, right? You were talking about your neighbor specifically saying, oh, you know, he's not going to get the tickets in or something of that nature. Well, I mean, what if it's, you know, a Ja Morant or something like that that comes in? You know, I mean, obviously, if it's Zion, that goes without question. They're going to sell more season tickets, believe me. Now, again, a lot of things have to happen. Oh, by the way, not to pat myself on the back.
Here we go.
Yeah.
It's been the pat myself on the back.
They have been hearing on Go Look and Wingo, a couple of other shows, some national stuff. The old, you know, Zion to the Lakers, LeBron, New York trade. Just letting you know that. Will, I just had one final question for you, man, before you dropped out there. Obviously, with part of the rebuild, you're going to have to decide what players you bring back or not. This Christian Wood guy, man, he comes in, drops, 23 points. It's again, part of the evaluation process. I know Danny Ferry is what he's doing right now, bringing guys in, but he looked good yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he played really well, and I think it's impressive considering, I mean, the guy just got here 2 days ago. I mean, he still doesn't really know the system all that well. Obviously, he's still learning his teammates, but I think just the minute he steps on the floor, you can see the talent he has. He's a big guy that can run the floor. He can shoot from deep. he's really talented in the mid game, you know, figuring out how to score in the post, spacing up. I think he's a really versatile guy, and he talked about this last night. Just, you know, during the course of his career, he's been behind guys like Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he really hasn't had the opportunity to play big minutes like he did in that game against the Hawks. And I think through these final few games, you're going to get a chance to really see him out there and see what he can show. And just like I said, these are the little type of moves that separate the good teams from the great teams, being able to find these guys that you never heard of, giving them an opportunity, developing them, and turning them into actual pieces that can help you or pieces that you can move in a future deal. And I think that you need to see these Christian Wood type of deals happen more and more often, and I think that's the way you get this franchise back on track. But I think just in the short term, you got to be happy with the way he's looking and just adding another piece to this puzzle.
Yeah, no doubt. You just put up a story about Elfrid Payton. Tell folks so they can find him, that story, on your Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just talking about, you know, Elfrid Payton and just the struggle that he's gone through early in his career, being on teams like Orlando Magic and Phoenix Suns, where he's just doing a whole bunch of losing, and a young guy that's trying to figure out his place in this league, and he was hoping that the Pelicans would be the place that can help him kind of flourish, playing with guys like A.D., Julius Randle, and Drew Holiday, and obviously that hasn't worked out this year. And I kind of explored, you know, what's coming next for him and you know, what kind of player he can be in this league, and if New Orleans is the place that he can be to really show everything he can do.
10 seconds, in your opinion, can he be a starting point guard in this league?
Yeah, I think the potential is there. I still think he has a lot of work to do, but I think he's shown during quick, you know, flashes here in New Orleans that he could do some good things, but he needs to develop his outside shot and just overall, you know, grasp of the game.
Good stuff. Will Guillory at Will Guillory is the way to follow him on Twitter, at The Athletic Noel as well. Go check out that story about Elfrid Payton and the rest of the season as well. Well, we're going to be busy. We're going to have fun, man. We'll have you in and chat a little bit more. Of course, obviously, as we get closer to the draft lottery, the end of the season, and what takes place from that point on. So it should be a very interesting, but I'm looking forward to it. I think an exciting offseason because it's going to be a lot to talk about.
Hey, and let's just hope after April we never have to say the word tampering again. That's what I'm looking for.
I'm with you, man. Thank you, Will. Appreciate the time this afternoon.
Hey, I'll talk to you later, man.
Quick break. When we come back, more of your plays. Have we gotten any new plays during the intern? I feel like I'm just knocking down hash marks at this point.
No, we have not.
Top four plays that you would submit that have happened in New Orleans Saints football history. Got a good lists going so far. We're going to do a little Sweet 16 bracket challenge tomorrow. I've been speaking with Robert Meacham back and forth. He may stop by tomorrow at Vinny's. Meacham's play, the touchdown after the pick against the Redskins.
I wonder if he picks his own play.
You think he picks his own play?
I said I wonder if he picks his own play.
No. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Introducing the new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's. It comes with a new bacon double stack made with a quarter pound of fresh, never frozen beef and topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon. Plus four nuggets, fries, and a drink all for just $5. That's right, just $5. The new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's is everything you could ever want. Well, at least for lunch. Try Wendy's new $5 Biggie Bag today. Biggie Bag includes four-piece nuggets, small fries, and a small drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Approximate weight before cooking. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
We parents hear our kids say lots of things that can get us pretty worked up. Things like,
look, Ma, no hands.
And,
ouch, that hurts.
Look, you'll never completely stop worrying about your kids. But you can breathe a little easier with free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP programs in your state. The truth is, they're covering more kids and teens than ever before. So even if you've applied in the past, even if you don't qualify, your kids can now be eligible for regular doctor and dentist visits, prescriptions, and more. So the next time you hear,
ooh, I don't feel so good,
relax. Your kids can be covered.
Get us kids covered today. Families of four earning up to $49,200 a year or more may qualify. Just go to insurekidsnow.gov. or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. That's 1-877-543-7669. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My neighbors always ask me, hey Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get a greener, stronger lawn, guaranteed. All it takes is four easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing your lawn the nutrition and weed control it needs to stay lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. As always, we appreciate you tuning us in. Don't forget, I see what I just did there, Tune In Radio.
Tune In Radio.
The app is absolutely free. You can always chime in that way.
My Tuner app also.
Wow.
Works.
And then if you happen to miss the show and miss any of these interviews, how do you what kind of sorcerer? Eh?
You go to Twitter, you go to our website, ESPN Radio New Orleans. Click on the first link that you see.
Yeah.
And then right there on the very first post will be today's show.
And it goes to our SoundCloud page to be able to do that as well. Hey, don't forget, Tuesday, April 9th, we're going to be live at the Ellendale Country Club for the Mary Bird Perkins TGMC Golf Classic. It's to support cancer research and the fight against cancer. For team and sponsorship information, visit TGMC.com. That's Tuesday, the 9th. We'll be out there broadcasting live. Friday, April 12th, Jordan might go out there and play a little glow golf. It's an exciting event. The Partee, see what they did there? PAR-TEE. It's after dark glow ball tournament. You're going to have awesome cuisine from the area's top restaurants, along with live music and second a silent auction. I know. And it all kicks off Friday, April 12th at 6:30, same Ellendale Country Club. So come on out. Just go to TGMC.com. You're going to see all of that stuff there as well. Got Kyle and Chris to go to on the phone. I want to play you at least one bite here from Jared Cook, who spoke this morning. And I don't know if it's a good thing or not. Should I start with this? He was asked. Did he grow up a Saints fan?
No, I grew up a Falcons fan in Georgia.
Oh, no.
I grew up in Suwanee.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
I grew up off of Lawrenceville, Suwanee, and my dad used to take us to that McDonald's on the top of the hill and watch the Falcons practice growing up. But as I kind of got older and got into the league, that love faded real quick. So I didn't necessarily grow up a Saints fan, but I know how serious the rivalry is between the Saints and the Falcons, as well as the Panthers and the Saints, because I grew up around a lot of Charlotte brands as well, playing in South Carolina. So I know how important it is to the organization and to the fans, and how intense it is. So I'm looking forward to it.
There he goes. He understands. It is, Raza. I'm ready. I think it was the Saints that tweeted it. Who do you want the Saints to open up the regular season with? It's always, I'm always ready for the Saints. But the leading vote getter was the Rams. People want revenge immediately. They want the LA Rams. By the way, remember that game in Los Angeles. Chris, on deck circle. Kyle, you're up. What you got, bud?
Hey, buddy, I got my three picks for what we're going to send to the 100th year of the NFL.
Okay, what you got?
Okay, so I've got Sean Payton next to Drew Brees with the confetti falling at the Super Bowl. The next one I have is the one with Drew Brees and his son wearing the earmuffs with the confetti falling. And then, does it have to be a player or could it be a coach?
No, it's a really play. Good... It's a play. Like a play that happened. It's the four best plays.
Oh, I was going to say with Jim Moore, talking about the playoffs.
your sound bites. I tell you what, if you're going to go that route, Sean Payton doing the choking sign to an Atlanta Falcon player, that I'd love that. I mean, you know.
There you go. And Marsh Madness, I got Tennessee winning everything, buddy. Go ball.
Got Tennessee going in the distance, huh?
Oh, yeah. Come on, Jordan. I know you like that because I know you're about to get punished from from Gus here.
I'm not getting punished from Gus. Gus in 22nd place.
I'm in I can catch up.
No, you can't.
I guess I can if you look at my bracket. Purdue I got better the potential. Win.
Purdue has to beat Tennessee.
Kyle, if Tennessee wins tomorrow, I expect a phone call Friday morning.
I'll be waiting.
You got to – I'm a diehard UT fan, and I tell you what, that game killed me when we lost to LSU. I mean, you.
Did you go?
Yes, sir, I did.
Yep, I remember you calling. Yep, I remember you calling. There he is.
Well, guys, y'all have a great day today, and Jordan, take care of yourself, bud.
Hey, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Oh, I wonder if that's Will disguising his voice as Kyle.
That's right.
Will Rabb. Tennessee cannot.
Will Rabb. Scott Kushner, also a Tennessee volunteer.
Oh, boy.
Chris, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got for us today?
Hey, Gus. I'm going to go back to the owners' meeting.
Okay.
And Tom Red Goodell.
Okay.
I think he gave everybody Kool-Aid, and they drank it all up, except Cincinnati. This is... lipstick on a pig, as far as I'm concerned, with this new rule. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost them anything. That's good for the owners. That was in the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
And then the elephant in the room, or the pig with the lipstick on it, is they need to get full-time referees. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous how they do this. We're the only professional league that does it, right? I mean,
right. No,
league baseball.
I could be an NFL referee.
Well, yeah. If you get the bicep for it, you know, that's all
got it. Dude, Earl, I mean, Chris, you're absolutely right. Earl's on the on-deck circle. You're right, Chris. I do not work out nearly enough to go be the head official of an NFL game. Most of them
do. That was the cheapest way to put the people at ease, you know?
Let me ask you this. Do you think this could also open the way to, I think, like a roughing the passer, helmet to helmet, to be able to use certain things to be reviewable, to make the game a little bit better, safer?
I don't think that the replay is the answer. I think if you got, look, when an umpire is calling a ball on a strike, he doesn't even react. He calls it, bam. Same thing with a fully trained referee. If that's all they do all day, every day, and they're training, and they've got to pass through the league just like umpires do, then they see it, bam, it's automatic. They don't have to think about it. I don't think the replay is the utopia. I think you need to pay the money and get full-time, highly trained referees. Thank you very much.
I hear you, Chris. Thank you for the phone call, man.
I don't think anybody's rules in place.
No. Okay, we're going to act like we're debating about it. You two do the bouncing football thing. You look like it's a real tough call. No, that looks like you're having a migraine. I'm going to break the huddle confidently, and we're going
to
call it incomplete.
Put it over. Ease the fire.
I love that commercial show we just played. The official's going, all right, we're going to call it incomplete. Joey, play that again before we go to Earl. That's so funny.
That play earlier. Did anybody catch that play?
No.
Okay, we're going to act like we're debating about it. You two do the bouncy football thing. You rub your head like it's a real tough call. No, that looks like you're having a migraine. I'm going to break the huddle confidently, and we're going to call it incomplete.
Mike's on!
First down!
That's it. Reminds me of my one and only time. I umpired a game. Now, this is when I was a kid. I was like 15. And I just finished Babe Ruth practice.
You got booed off the field?
No, well, they needed somebody to go, you know, ump a lot younger, like 8, 9 or something, and I'm behind the mound. And no, it was 9, 10 because the kids were pitching. And I stupidly positioned myself to the right of right-hand pitcher and, like, bent down, hands on knees to see the pitch. After he delivers, he covers my view. And I hear, never saw it. I do the strike sound, and the coach loses it. People lose it. I mean, apparently the catcher had to jump to get the ball, and I called it a strike.
Did you get paid for
the game? I was never asked to umpire.
Did you get paid for the game?
No, I did. I was in my uniform. I just finished practice.
So
they needed somebody. No one collusion. It was just really
bad. You were still in your uniform.
Bad officiating. And I was told if you didn't see it, you just call it a ball.
Sounds like collusion.
I called
didn't follow orders.
No. Earl, thanks for calling the show. What you got for us?
Gus, what's up, man?
How are you doing?
Good. Hope you enjoying this beautiful weather we have, man.
It's beautiful, man. Looking out the window longingly, looking at the clock.
I ain't no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Gus, y'all do an awesome job, man. I listen every day. It just don't look like nobody's giving us a shot. I know Izzo's a big time Hall of Fame guy, and honestly, I really don't know much about Michigan State. I know they probably got a good defense and all this, but I think the line's up to 6.5, Gus. But isn't it true, Gus? It's not the best team going in. It's pretty much who's playing the best right now. And I think LSU is playing one of the best, and we're not getting any kind of notification, man. I mean, it just. How do you feel about it? How do you think we stack up? Do we have a pretty good chance to win this ball game?
Earl, I look at it like this, right? And let's walk through it together. Let's walk through it together. You want a chance, right? At any time, whether it's Saints, whether it's LSU basketball, football, but you want a chance before the game starts to compete and a chance to win, right? I mean, that's at the very premise of competition. You want to be able to have a chance to win. LSU can play outside and can play inside. What I mean outside is, yes, they're not a great three-point shooting team, but you got guards that can penetrate. You got guards that can handle the basketball and can get the ball to other players and especially attack the paint. Speaking of, you got players inside the paint in its areas that can score on the block, can hit jumpers on the elbow. Naz Reid can even knock down a three if you need him to. So they're athletic. They don't have to stay within a certain area down low. They can move defenders out of that area and allow guards to penetrate and then, you know, lay up balls and get points that way, like Tremont Waters and Mays does a lot. So I think they have that ability to do that. And LSU's size, and again, the SEC had a lot of very good teams this year, and you saw in those games they were pretty competitive, and they won the regular season title. So they're good. They got the talent. So I do think they have the ability to win it. And I think the reason you feel the way you do and people are saying that nationally, that it's all Michigan State, is Tom Izzo. If Will Wade, Earl, was coaching this team, I think more people would have this game closer.
I agree with that, Gus. I think the State, I think Izzo even said this LSU team, and he respects the LSU program, that it looks like one of his old Michigan State teams from like 4 or 5 years ago when State really had good. I mean, I've seen them one time, Gus, and they look good, but I wasn't in awe. Like, they can be beat. I mean, I think it's not like a Duke type of team. I think LSU's hot, man. And if we can win this game, the sky's the limit, man. Go Tigers, and y'all keep up the great work, Gus. I love y'all's show, buddy.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. It means a lot to us. Thank you,
Earl.
Man. Appreciate it. Did you just take credit?
Yeah, I said thank you, Earl.
Okay. Nah, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. You're part of the show. You did good. Some of Jordan's handiwork next. More Jarrett Cook sound. When we come back, it's the Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Brittany LaBeouf, a certified athletic trainer for Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that we've given over 4,000 baseline concussion tests to student athletes in Terrebonne Parish at no charge? A baseline concussion test allows the athlete to get back to their sport in the safest manner possible. TGMC's certified athletic trainers supervise the return to play protocol at each high school once the physician releases the athlete back to activity. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. Terrebonne General Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to tgmc.com.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
It's a brand new year at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Hurry in for a great deal on Ram at Ram Truck Month. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram Trucker Van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Do it big.
Picks it up, shoots for three. Good, good, good. Drew Holiday. Floater down the lane. No, dunk follow with two hands. Julius Randle.
Hi, this is Sean Kelly. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans take on the Sacramento Kings Thursday at 7 on ESPN Radio, New Orleans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Screen pass to Trayshawn DeAndre on the right side. He dodges Crushman, makes his way to the end zone. Touchdown! Traffic. But wait a second, I think there's a flag on the play.
All right, you guys got holding on number 97, right?
Yeah, definitely holding. No touchdown.
All right, make the call, Dick.
Dick.
Yeah, I mean, it was holding.
Right, so make the call.
Or, you know, we say the flag was for an excessive celebration so they can keep the touchdown and apply the penalty to the kickoff, huh? What do you say?
What are you talking about? I didn't see excessive celebration.
You sure? I could have sworn I saw a little nay-nay going on.
Dick, what's going on with you, man?
All right, look, guys, I got to be real with you. Trayshawn DeAndre just scored that touchdown, okay? I have him on my fantasy team this week. I need these points.
What? Are you kidding me, Dick?
No, I'm not kidding you, Bill. I'm playing against my father-in-law this week, and if he doesn't score this touchdown, I lose.
Well, I'm not gonna like.
Yeah, again, a lot of
from college humor.
A lot of people feel that that's exactly what takes place on the field. A lot of people wouldn't mind. It's good stuff, Comrade Goodell. In case you missed it, here's what he had to say on the rule changes.
How important was it for the league, for everybody to leave here with the rule in place now to prevent what happened at the end of the NFC Championship game?
Well, I think it's very important because, you know, we all said officiating is never going to be perfect. We can use a technology to try to improve officiating. We do that every year. It evolves, whether it's our techniques that how we train and how we work with our officials on the field. But it's, you know, replay has been an important tool for us. And, you know, it wasn't able to correct something that we wanted to have corrected in the past. I think that, to me, it was the driving force. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I think our clubs, including all our coaches, owners, and everyone else, realize that our job is to get these right. And we should use every available means to get them right. And replay is a great means to be able to do that. Will this solve every problem? Will this get us to perfect? It was the old saying, right? Don't let perfect get in the way of better. And this is a very natural evolution and obviously a very positive thing.
Follow-up, did you make a speech passionately in that regard to the membership?
I think a lot, too much is probably being put on speeches. I think, you know, everybody in there fully understood through a long process and through a lot of discussion. I think everybody wanted to get it right, and everybody wanted to do that. There were just different ways of approaching that. Some people had to sort of remove themselves from long-held views, and understanding that the big picture here is simply to get it right, and we should do that. We have the ability to do that. Again, it won't be perfect, but I think everyone knows how I felt. I felt very strongly. I was very clear with the committee that we have an obligation to have a recommendation, and that we need to get to a place. I spoke to the owners this morning when we were in a private session about this issue, and that, you know, I felt strongly that we should have OPI and DPI included in replay, and we should be able to throw flags in those circumstances. So it was up to the committee and the membership to come up with the best way of doing that, and I think they did a great job.
Is it just me, or does it seem completely natural to have the Soviet national anthem playing in the background of Roger Goodell speaking. It really, honestly, it does. It's almost calming.
Das Mindorf, Kamerad.
Exactly. Kamerad Goodell. Look, I think they had to do something. Totally made sense. When we come back, we'll hear more from Sean Payton on this. and some more from some other folks that aren't, you know, well, so thrilled about it as well. Freddie Coleman, late nights on ESPN.
The NFL, they can't stand it. They hate looking bad because they are so afraid of losing fans, which equals potentially losing money. Anytime there's an outcry of something like this that puts a stain on the NFL, that damages the shield of Roger Goodell in the NFL, all of a sudden, what do they normally do? They have a knee-jerk reaction. I don't expect every league to be proactive, but there's certain times you don't need to be reactive.
Here's the one thing, though, Freddie. It wasn't the owners that did this. It was the coaches that voted for this. It was 31-0 coaches. The coaches voted this and brought it to the owners and forced the owners to make the move. The coaches wanted this, not the owners. So, I don't know. Hour three coming up next. We'll hear from Jared Cook, top of the hour on ESPN New Orleans.